Bow, 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 bow. That's as good as I can do.
Yeah.
Gloucester Cast 270. You know, the funny thing about the theme song that was written by Earl and Earl Foot Band was Earl, like, has been doing. Did I share the post? Like, he's been doing these acoustic versions of his, a lot of his famous songs. Mm-hmm. And he posted it, and I shared it on my Facebook page. And, I mean, his post, that Gloucester Till the End song, went viral. Again, all over again. It's all, that song touches so many people.
It really resonates.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I can't duplicate it, and it kills me that I can't duplicate it.
Well, we'll get it figured out.
Even though Jimmy promised me several times he was going to do it on the trumpet.
Yeah.
And he failed me.
Yeah.
But
welcome to my world.
At least the effort was there.
The effort was there. We're here with the legendary Eric Lorden.
I don't know if that's right, but
yeah, you're here. We got Jimmy and Pat Dalpiaz and me, your host, Joey Shimatara.
Good morning, Gloucester.
Good morning, Gloucester.
Good morning, Gloucester.
Good morning.
Just one thing of business. K-Band Community Cinema it sponsors the podcast with a couple tickets for people that share the post. You have a chance to win two tickets. Their listings are at the top of Good Morning Gloucester, and there's a link in the show notes so you can go directly to their website where they have all their the movie trailers and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So we're going to talk right now about Eric's place, though.
Yeah.
Eric's new place.
I
want to
hear about this.
Machaca.
First thing I want you to do, because I know that there's going to be a lot of confusion. Machaca is what?
Machaca technically is shredded meat. It's a dried beef product out of northern Mexico from the research. But the reason why I named it Machaca is that when I moved to town, I started working with a Guatemalan guy named Arnaldo, a.k.a. Pinchy. And we opened a Mexican place down on Rogers Street, right across...
You've been with Pinchy that long? Pinchy's been here that long?
Pinchy has been with me since the second day that I lived in Gloucester, which is April 16th, 1993.
Whoa.
He did leave every now and then.
Is that 25 years?
Every now and then he'll
coming right up.
He'll leave for a dollar, more an hour or whatever, work for a few months and then come back. And it's never a question, you know, can I come back? He just grabs a knife and starts working. I would be nothing without that guy. I am absolutely, you know, a lot of people that have worked with me, for me, however you want to say it. You know, I always say work with me because it's always a team effort. The restaurant business is the greatest team sport that generates, you know, income for people all over this country. If you look at the amount of restaurants and the amount of people that make money off food service, you know, no restaurant ever survives or is successful without a great team effort.
There you go.
And that's 100%. Everybody who owns a restaurant knows it. Everybody who's a manager in a restaurant knows it. And hopefully even the lowest person on the payroll knows that they're part of a team.
But you started 25 years ago, and the first restaurant you were at...
Yeah, it was called El Caliente Cafe. I got a call. I was on my way back from Florida, from Naples, actually. And my best buddy grew up in Melrose, Keith O'Leary, who runs a bar up in Old Orchard Beach, Maine now, said, hey, what are you doing? And I was like, well, I'm going to go back and run this same place. You know, to make the long and short, he was like, well, I'm running a place for Jerry Cheevers, Leo Kiley, and Charlie Newcomb, God rest him. He was like, you want to come check it out? And I was like, Gloucester? I've never even been to Gloucester.
Really?
So I drove into town, and he showed me the spot. You know, we talked. They met Jerry Cheevers from the Bruins, you know, and decided to stay. You know, so that was 25 years ago. Then we opened... And we opened April 24th. I'm not 100% sure on the day, but I know that we opened before
Cinco de Mayo.
You know, the restaurant was already set up. As it turned out, I ended up leaving there in November. You know, we had a ton of staff. I had already set up, you know, the recipe books. The staff was all trained. you know, and then the November slowdown hit. I was like the second, you know, highest person on the payroll, so they let me go. Caused a little bad blood for a while, you know, getting laid off in the middle of the winter. But I stepped right into a consulting job with another Mexican restaurant that opened in Marblehead, and then went from there to Square Cafe. And Square Cafe, we had a great run.
Square Cafe, where the current Duckworth's Bistro is.
Right, where Duckworth's is. We had a great run over there. We opened another place called the Ocean Cafe, me and Ray Farrow. And then I ended up over at Passports when Jane Barish literally called me on the phone and said, "Aren't you ready to run your own place?"
didn't you open your first place on basically on credit cards? Like
family loans.
Family loans, but like.
And credit cards, yeah.
Yeah, and credit cards. Self made. Like he is where he is, like on his own.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So now, full circle.
Full circle.
Yeah.
So we're opening another Mexican place 100 yards away from where I moved to town. The opportunity came to me from the gentleman who owned the license there. He approached me and I kept saying, no, you know, I don't want to have two restaurants in Gloucester, but I have this idea in the back of my head. And getting back to Arnaldo, when we used to make the mix, is what we would call it, you know, chicken mix, taco mix, pork mix that you put in burritos, tacos, enchiladas or whatever, you know, the real bread and butter, you know, of Mexican restaurant, is he would always refer to it as the machaca.
Oh.
You know, and for some reason, no one's ever used that name, you know.
Huh.
And 25 years later, I remember the first time that he came up to me in his
That's funny.
Amazing accent and said, "Jefe, the machaca."
So there you go. So machaca, your new restaurant,
right,
is in the space formerly occupied by Katrina's.
Right. The old timers too.
The old timers, right. Katrina's.
Legendary.
And across from the brew pub.
Yep.
And
Latitude.
What's that?
Latitude.
And right. Latitude Minglewood.
Yeah.
And so every restaurant, when you conceive of a restaurant, you have an idea of what you want it to be. We understand it's Mexican, but like what is this place going to be like? What's the vibe going to be like? What is going to separate you from any other place? Like why, you know, there's a lot of great restaurants in Gloucester.
I got you.
Why come here?
Why come here? Well, I think that we'll be able to provide a certain niche of authenticity because Luis Pardo, you know, my GM, was born in Mexico City. He's been in the restaurant business even longer than I have, which is 37 years. So combined, we were talking about it yesterday. We're 77 years experience between the two of us in the business. You know, we actually have some other Latino folks that are going to be working with us down there to produce as close as you can get to authentic tacos and tequila. Aside from that, I feel that there's a need in town to have, you know, a different spin on craft cocktails than, you know, just dumping Bacardi and Coke in a cup. You know, and there are, you know, Franklin Cafe, you know, Tono, Jamie at Stone's, you know, Andrea down at Halibut Point. You know, there are some good drinks, you know, in town, you know, but I think that, you know, I think that we can capitalize on a little bit better house margarita than what's going on. If you look at the demographic between Gloucester and Rockport, there's not much Mexican options, and there's not much really tequila options. So, in 37 years, all I've ever done is work in the restaurant business, and if you ever saw the coffee table that you gave me over at my house, it's always filled with tons of literature. I've got magazines, books, cookbooks, bar magazines, you know, and everything in there, you know, which follow trends. Tequila is by far the hottest liquor in the country right now, and it has been. So anyway, what are we going to do down there? It's going to be as close to we can get as authentic Mexican food.
For not, and you want to keep the prices reasonable as well, right?
Great drinks,
yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. I always think that price comes after those two things, mm-hmm. But yes. When we were at El Caliente, we were literally selling chicken fajitas for $8.37. You could walk in, get a drink and dinner for under $20. It's the same concept.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'll still be able to provide a good drink, fresh chips, real tortillas, and hopefully a fun, friendly atmosphere for under $20 a person.
There you go.
You know, and that's when you go to different places around town. If you go to Border Cafe right now, or if you go to Howlin' Wolf down in Salem right now, you know, these are the places that are turning people over all the time. And it's not just about, you know, making more than you need to off of one single person. It's how many times a year is that person coming back? You know, so when you can actually put something out that's great, you know, and have it be affordable, like affordable in a sense that it would be hard to go to Shaw's, buy the ingredients, cook it yourself, do the dishes,
yeah,
right, and replicate it for, you know, $3 under what you're giving me.
Right.
You know, and that's kind of, you know, I feel like, you know, volume and turnover creates more business, you know, and the better that you do with the customers that come through the door, the more people are going to come through the door tomorrow.
Yeah. You also have an entertainment license?
We do have an entertainment license, which is kind of new to me. I've never been in the late night bar business, but that place has been famous. I mean, you and I have been in there when it was old timers, you know, I kind of...
Not often, but...
I mean, we're going back, but...
Maybe late night at Fiesta.
Yeah.
See, I wanted to ask you that because I saw the picture of the work you're doing inside. I guess the questions I have is what... It is hugely different than if the last time anybody walked in Katrina's. What made you change that? What's your theory behind that, hearing everything else you're trying to do here?
So the theory behind that is that I can sit on this side of the bar, and if you move back 1 foot, you know, I'm looking across at you, and we can still have a conversation.
Well, you're talking about a horseshoe.
Across the bar.
You're talking about a horseshoe bar.
Right. So it created visually a 26-person family table.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
You know, and then if you put people behind them, you know, if there's one seat available, you know, Pat sits down,
mm-hmm,
you know, you stand behind her, you know, then you're next to the other people.
Okay.
You know, part of going out for me, I love to sit in community tables, you know, and especially for people that have been together for a long time, single people, you know, or whatever, you know, it's so funny, you know, I always tell my servers, I'm like, will you please go up and talk to that couple over there? And they're like, why? I'm like, they've probably been married for 35 years and told every story that they've ever known.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you can just see them there looking at their water glass.
Yeah.
I'm like,
yeah,
go up there and introduce yourself. Tell them a story, you know,
yeah,
let's have some fun,
yeah,
you know, learn something. You know, I always find that whenever I go out and I'm sitting next to somebody, you know, I'm having fun, I'm learning someone, I'm meeting a new friend.
I'm a bar person. If I go to a restaurant, there could be open tables and Kate and I will go right to the bar and we'll...
Right.
You know, for dinner, I mean, we don't even need to be having an alcoholic beverage. Like we like the social aspect.
It's the social part of
it.
It's like you're saying, you're sitting at a table with other people. It's a similar.
The family table standing right there because I'm like that. I just saw that there's so much room you're thinking of too, and I gotta give you all the credit for that because sometimes when you get like four or five guys you want to talk, you're missing out on half the conversation because people are trying to get by or stuff that way, but it looks like to you.
If you look at new restaurants that are kind of coming, you know, I mean, the Half Moon is pretty popular. Not really different than the Straight Line, you know, but the Half Moon's pretty popular. The Horseshoe, you know, is really, we definitely lost middle of the floor space by doing it, you know. So if you were a straight numbers person, you know, tables in the restaurant and asses on chairs, that we say,
mm-hmm,
you know, it costs us a few tables, you know, but you don't have to see every square foot to be successful. Just like when people say, oh, you know, I hate the color of passports. My artist right now said that it was the best color that she ever hung her stuff up against because her artwork blows off there, you know, so the restaurant business is very subjective to what people, you know, is opinions are and stuff like that.
Right.
You know, I can only pull off the fact that, you know, for 37 years I've been in this business. You know, I haven't gotten rich. I've made a good living, you know, and I hope to continue to make a good living. And, you know, with my buddy Luis, who's also been in the business his whole life, you know, we went out to dinner last night at Maria's. And Maria's in Gloucester, I'm telling you, for $13, I had the pot roast last night. And a pizza, you know, great service, fast. Mm-hmm. And it was like literally like, you know, cinnamon butterscotch, homemade mash, pot roast lumped up with the gravy and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Between the two of us, we knew just about everybody that was in and out of there in the time that we were there.
Yeah.
You know, so that's, I guess that's about it.
There you go. Well, listen, thanks for coming in.
What's the target date?
The target date is April 24th, just to get open before Cinco de Mayo.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be open.
Happy anniversary.
Yeah.
Thank
yeah.
you. Yeah, 25 years to the day. So it'll be closed Mondays, open Tuesday through Sunday. Luis wants to do some kind of lunch and or brunch Saturday and Sunday mornings. I say it's just open at night, but if he wants to go in there and do the work, then... You know, he can open whenever he wants.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of times you have ideas and then you see what works.
Right, right, see how it
works. You tweak things as you go.
Yeah, I mean, at 11 o'clock on a Sunday morning, I want my butt in a beach chair.
I'm with you.
If he wants to be down there,
God bless
him. Making the bloody wands or the bloody Marias or whatever he calls the...
He mentioned something. So Cinco de Mayo is on the same day as the Kentucky Derby this year. So I don't want to give it away in case he's keeping it secret, but he has a special drink that that blends both ideas, he says it's amazing. We did that yesterday. Eric invited me down there. We were doing the tequila tastings.
Oh, okay.
And the booze that he's gonna have. His top shelf margaritas is no one's using this kind of booze, like this level of tequila in their top shelf margaritas, and even. The regular margarita, the tequila he's using for his regular margaritas, some places use as their top shelf margaritas.
Oh.
So
it's twice as expensive as most people's house margaritas.
Yeah.
That's your cost is twice as expensive.
My cost is twice.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
But it'll still be, you know,
reasonable.
$7 for a house margarita.
There you know.
$9.99 for a big burrito.
Boom.
Under
$20.
Under $20.
Nice. Yeah.
Oh, all right. Well, thanks for coming in, buddy.
Hey, thanks for having me, Joe. I really appreciate it. Thanks for coming down.
You got it, brother. Well, that's exciting.
That is exciting.
It's fun. Eric's been like one of my closest friends forever, and you know, I really believe in this concept. We talk all the time about what works and what doesn't work.
Uh-huh.
You know, he knows a lot more about the restaurant business than me, but he bounces ideas off me and.
He seems to put a lot of thought into his...
Oh, yeah. All day long.
Yeah, yeah.
He's just one of these guys. His mind doesn't stop. But, you know, one of the things that we were talking about, and we talk about the type of places that we like to go to.
Right.
Type of places we like to go to, and I think that this is what he's really going after. Because Passports, the food is really fantastic, right?
Yeah,
but it's
a totally
different animal and a different demographic than what...
What he's
this place
about.
Is going to be.
Right.
This place
right.
is, you know,
speaking to a different market.
You go to Passports and it's all about the food, and you know, some people get, you know, a glass of wine and maybe a beer and something like that. But this place is really going to be more about. It's going to be great Mexican food, but with that horseshoe communal bar, it's really going to be
it's
more
like a social meeting place.
It's a place that you go, much like Stones or the Brew Pub. Like, you go, you know, if it's midday or something like that, you go to the bar and you have a, you know, a nice lunch and maybe a margarita or something like that.
And
see people. Yeah, it's going to be a social kind of place.
Right, Joey, I would start there. You know, if you're playing your day, I mean, Pat and I, we talk about that we have what we call our drinking days. No. That doesn't mean, folks, you know, I know my family's listening. No, I am not doing it 24 hours. But I'm just saying... We start at one place and we can, and then we move on, you know, like that. And you've done that too. You've started a few places and all of a sudden, let's walk over here. So I definitely hear this as the starter place. I don't know whether with all his tequilas where I'm going to get out of there. Last time I had tequila was not... I don't remember certain things.
So there you go. I want to mention where we went and speaking. We'll continue with the restaurant theme.
Yeah.
Do you remember, obviously, that we bumped up the podcast from Sunday to Saturday because I really wanted to take Kate
to the
Feather and
Wedge.
Wedge.
I'd like to hear
Sunday brunch. You saw the pictures, right?
Yeah, I did. I want to hear about the jazz, and I want
to... Every time I go there, it's just so spot... You know, there's a couple places like this. There's Tano's like this. But Tano isn't doing a Sunday brunch like this. This is the only place I know of that is doing this. All of it. Like, you got the dollar oysters. And the oysters were, like, the best around. Like, ice cold, shucked perfectly. No little chips in there of shell and stuff like that. Served in the three different dipping sauces. They had the mirepoix. They had another, I forget the other one. And then they had the, you know, traditional cocktail sauce. I ordered four because I was going to get the brunch too.
Right.
And they were so good, I ordered another four. Bloody Mary bar with, there had to be 15 different things you could have added to your Bloody Mary. The coffee was great coffee, like a good, robust cup of coffee. So I got Cod Benedict. And the fish, this is something about that place, because I got the seared scallops one time. They know how to sear
fish,
seafood. Like, they are expert chefs. Like, there was this golden crust on the haddock with the salt.
So
and Kate, both of us were just going back and forth, like, oh my God, oh my. Every bite, it was like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And it's kudos to that place. And again, we're blessed in this area because we have so many great restaurants. This is definitely a standout place in Rockport.
It was
busy. We got to sit down. We didn't have reservations. I would tell you this. I think it's just getting more and more popular. And they said, you should put in for, they take reservations,
right,
and reservations are recommended. So I can't say enough good things about that place. There it is. I just, oof. Thank you. I feel like every time I leave that place, I thank them on my way out. I went to the kitchen, as you can see through, and I said, Chef, I shook his hand. Mm-hmm. No, actually, I fist bumped him. I said, you really nailed that cod. You really nailed it.
I bet that's I know it's that restaurant, but I like doing it. I will go up to a chef or something and just say, listen, you know, you're busy back here, and I know maybe they'll walk back and saying table three thought, you know, whatever, but I like to go up and say, look, here's space.
Yeah.
I come here often. Thank you. It
was
good.
Thank you for that. Right, exactly. And they are pros. What do you guys have going on? Easter's coming up.
It doesn't feel a bit like it. And
it goes along with my theory. For 5 years running now, 5 years, and it has not deviated from this, that the theory of no spring and no fall.
Have
you been listening that long? You've been listening, right?
Oh, absolutely.
You've heard me mention this
a
million
absolutely.
Times.
Yeah.
Again, we're almost all the way through March,
and, you're right.
And it's winter.
Yeah, because there wasn't really a fall.
There wasn't a fall. We had warm days right through December.
I
barely broke out my long sleeve shirts all the way through December. November was a warm month.
It was. So our Easter thing is we don't have a big traditional Easter plan. Usually, for many years, we would just come here for the weekend,
mm-hmm,
and spend time with family for Easter. That was always our go-to thing to do.
First time we actually played that card that you went out and had Easter dinner in a restaurant. We were always, make the ham and go out and do all that stuff, and so we actually had to get reservations and all that stuff because, again, the family that's up here, we would all be family together,
Right, right.
That was tough.
Yeah.
But there's plenty of places that do offer the Easter meal, you know? So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think, I should put a list together of places that are doing Easter. Well, speaking of, Feather and Wedge is doing
an Easter
brunch. That would be at the top of my list.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny, Felicia had mentioned to me, instead of cooking, why don't we go out for brunch? And I was like, I'll do whatever everyone wants to do, you know. But then she within like 3 minutes, she goes, or maybe I'll get the, she did, I remember this as maybe the best thing I've ever eaten in my entire life. She did like lammy pops.
Oh, uh-huh,
With her version of like a tzatziki, like
mm-hmm.
a dill cucumber,
yeah,
or yogurt.
Yeah.
And it was, and she grilled them.
That sounds like a great Easter choice.
They were out of this world. They're expensive. Those lammy pops are super expensive.
Yeah, I don't typically buy lamb, so I don't even know, but.
Did you see I cooked some lamb shanks the other day?
I did. And you made your own tzatziki sauce, which sounded out of this world.
So, okay. This is a whole nother cup. This is interesting. So, I have this little grill, the little Weber,
uh-huh.
called Go Anywhere Grill. And I saw online that they had this, someone produced, you know, for these Weber grills, there's like all these cottage industries for accessories, right? So this guy, very ingenious, made this deflector plate. So the grill is so small that it's really made for direct cooking. Because once you put the coals in there,
there's not a lot of room, you can't reach smoking.
You need to have the you can't have meat dripping oil down onto fat onto coals. You're gonna have fires, and I mean, you can cook directly. It's a sear. That's grilling. That's not smoking or barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So this guy made this ingenious deflector plate that has a little ridge down the middle that funnel. So anything that is above it, any drippings would go down into an end. You'd keep like a little pan. Drip pan. So anyway, so lamb shanks were on sale. I was dying to just, it was a perfect experiment because the shape that they were and everything. And I gotta tell you, like, so the method that I use, I smoked them for an hour and a half until I got the color that I was looking for.
Mm-hmm.
Like they got really dark and everything. And then I wrapped them up with like a blueberry balsamic glaze and some, what else was there? Oh, and some beef stock. And I put it in the container and double wrapped it in foil, which is braising.
Right.
Did you know that term, you know, do you know how to braise something? And it's the liquid that softens it up and stuff?
No, I'm not.
So you didn't know that?
I don't do any of that stuff myself. I don't.
But would you have known the technique, what it was?
How to do it? No.
No. So which is interesting to me, because every person that I said that I smoked it and then braised it, I actually got some questions like, what does that mean, braising? Like, what do you mean?
Oh, I've heard the phrase, and I have a general idea what it means.
Well, I just asked you how to do it. You said you didn't know what it was.
I don't. But I have a you can know about stuff without knowing how to.
Okay, so the idea is you wrap it up and tightly with liquid inside the pan, and it creates like a steam rapidly breaks down all the sinewy fat, so it gets tough cuts of meat become very tender. Like you would braise oxtail,
right?
You braise like a chuck roast. You know, because those cuts of meat are not necessarily great cuts of meat.
But they can be.
If you seared it, it would be horrible to try to eat because it couldn't even tear it off. It would be tough.
Yeah.
But when you slow cook it and braise it, so the first part of that smoke, right, it gets all that flavor imparted,
mm-hmm.
and browns up and kind of crisps up the skin. Then the braising takes over from there and breaks down all those hard connective tissues to make it like butter, tender. I was surprised at how many people, and Kate was mocking me for saying that. She's like, "Oh, you braised it. You're like Mr. Braising guy now." You know, I'm like, Well, like, I didn't think it was that crazy, but anyway, I don't know where
meat
I was
just
going.
Came right off the bone. I mean, it was.
You were starting to talk about the pan. Maybe that was where you were going.
So anyway, the pan was very effective as far as shielding the meat from direct heat and allowing me to smoke
mm-hmm.
a large cut of meat on such a small grill.
And then the skin that was crispy isn't crispy anymore.
It's not, well, it's not crispy.
You
didn't really want it crispy. You just wanted it to
soften the skin up, though.
To soften it up and impart that smoky flavor.
Right.
And for the rubs and the garlic and everything to kind of infuse and stuff
right,
like that.
Right.
It was great, though. We'll go to this topic next. CapeAndCommunity.com is
mm-hmm.
one of the auxiliary sites that I have for nonprofits. And I just want to give a shout out to all the organizations that are using it and using it effectively.
Oh, good.
So I want to explain the theory behind it
mm-hmm.
and why I started it. And we started, this is probably 3 or 4 years now, I think. I'm not sure, but so nonprofits have, most of them have dedicated PR people, or if they're really small, the main person does their PR.
Right, right.
So I give those people access to be able to post their press releases directly to capeandcommunity.com.
And that's where some of the stuff that we see on the blog comes from?
That's right. So once they post to Cape Ann Community, I have the ability to hit one button, the reblog button, and those posts get ported over to the main page, Good Morning Gloucester, where you know we get
mm-hmm.
the ridiculous
mm-hmm.
eyeballs.
Traffic,
that's what you want. Like,
amazing.
So Cape Ann Community isn't necessarily like
the main portal,
the main place to see stuff, but it allow, otherwise there's no possible way that I would be able to edit all
maintain
these people's
right.
posts and
right.
do it. It's just too much. I have family and I need to spend time with them. So for any nonprofits out there that are not, all you have to do is email me and I can put you in the loop. We have like, there's a lot. I mean, you see how many.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And it's a certain size that you're looking for and a certain so it's easy
yeah.
to transfer over.
It's valuable information, yeah.
Yeah, it's fairly straightforward. I
think you're boosting their product. That's what, you know, it's like boosting it.
Yeah.
And, you know, send it over to me and...
I'm gonna just read down in the last, let's see, Cape Ann Community.
They all want to get the word out, so...
Cape Ann Community. So these are some of the organizations that share with us. Backyard Growers, the Cape Ann Museum, Wellspring, Gloucester UU, which is the... I think it's...
Universalist.
Gloucester Program Coordinator. They're like the high school,
right.
So almost like the guidance counselors, or
okay.
you know, they
yeah.
give them to place them once they get out of high school.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, that they put one in for a 2018 summer internship. The Rockets softball, you know,
I saw
Riverdale
they had a
Rockets.
Fundraiser recently, yeah,
yeah.
So that's working.
Yeah, Sawyer Free Library posts, East Gloucester's. The East Gloucester school posts.
So a wide variety.
It's just a wide, I mean, these are just examples. The Phyllis A. Organization. Cape Ann Art Haven posts there. So it's a who's who.
Cool.
And if you have a nonprofit,
then drop, and
you're
kind of
crazy.
I mean, drop Joey an email.
Drop me an email. goodmorninggloucester@yahoo.com. And we'll get you in there. The one of my favorite events of the year that I'm no longer involved with, other than to promote it for the organizer, Frankie Gwynn, my good friend Frankie Gwynn, has put the whole thing on his shoulders, and this is the 7th year annual Bikini Speedo Dodgeball Tournament. They're still looking for teams. There's a link in the show notes if
yeah.
you want to put a team together, but it's the date is April 28th.
April 28th.
Have you guys? Did you guys ever get to go to one?
No, but I keep hearing about it. I can't believe it's number 7 already. Wow. No.
Number 7.
Wow.
In this very office.
But they look like so much fun.
I guess the only thing that I could equate it to would be the greasy pole.
Mm-hmm.
But this is, like, the greasy pole is like a couple hundred yards away from you.
Yeah.
This is,
like,
you are
right
on top of the action.
Yeah.
It is, and it is so much fun.
And it's going to be held, did they, same venue as last year, because they tried someplace new.
I'm not, Jesus, I don't want to, I don't know. It didn't show in the, he didn't have it in the notes, but he sent me a press release this morning.
Okay. I'll catch up.
The Bluefin Blowout, they have a date for that, August 2nd to 4th.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to thank Nicole Schraft for going to the planning meeting. They invited me, but I had to work. I couldn't make it. It is another great event. And Warren Waugh, the Waugh Auto Group, the main sponsor.
Yeah, they went out of their way last year.
They wrote a check for, I think, like right around $50,000.
Wow.
For Alzheimer's after that
wow.
event last year.
Wow.
But it's a family friendly event. Have you guys gone to that?
No.
Are you going to be in town for it?
We're hoping. That's our anniversary. Maybe we don't have to go to the baseball stadium and have a hot dog for our anniversary dinner this year.
We still have to do
that.
Is that tradition?
That's our tradition, yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
We're at the stadium.
Yeah, we have a hot dog and a beer.
Yeah.
Hot dog.
One year we threw the first pitch out. The owner let me go out there.
That is awesome.
So maybe we should break tradition this year.
You threw the pitch. Did you make it across the plate? Or did you have to go up a few steps?
No, she made it over the plate.
I went over the plate. I went up a few steps, but it did go over the plate. Yeah.
Girl.
Yeah.
How's your... so I got a notification that... What?
Oh, I just remembered I have something for you in the car from Paula Ryan O'Brien that I forgot to bring in. She's going to kill me.
Wow.
That I forgot.
Can I say one thing?
Yeah.
I'm going to make a guess because I have a friend that's a Weber collector. He's out in the Catskills region.
Oh, okay.
And this past weekend, I believe, was maple syrup weekend or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sugaring.
Sugaring weekend.
Yeah.
He has a sugar shack, and he sent me pictures of his sugar shack with the smoke coming out.
Oh, neat.
And he said, like, there's, I guess, these couple weekends there are a lot of events in that area surrounding.
Yes, it's a big maple
sugar
festival
mm-hmm.
weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
no,
that's not what it is. It's not related to that. It's something that I've been, Paula meant to bring with her the last time she saw you, and she forgot it. And I talked her out of shipping it to you.
My second guess,
it's been
Speedy
riding,
Sauce.
It is Speedy Sauce.
Ah.
And it's been riding around in the back of my car.
I'm gonna
well, I didn't see
as
you
soon as
a
this
while.
Podcast is over, I'm going to have to run to Stop and Shop and get some meat.
There you go, yeah.
And we'll cook up some
Speedy. I think she sent you two flavors.
Ooh, interesting.
Yeah,
I didn't know there was
yeah.
two flavors.
Oh, yeah, there's... But true Speedies, you don't do the flavor thing. It's just your Speedy sauce and, you know. But for true Speedies, you don't do
thank you, Paula
teriyaki, buffalo wing.
But she was the winner of the she's the winner. I'm going to give you the tickets for her. For Jesus, I have them in my car. Please, can you do me a favor?
Yes.
Can you not leave without taking the tickets
okay,
for...
Okay, if you promise that I won't forget to give you the Speedy Sauce.
Oh, don't forget the tickets
the
for Cape Ann Community Cinema for Paula Ryan O'Brien for sharing
she's
the podcast.
She's going to love that, yeah.
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 That's amazing.
She's going to love that experience.
She's so sweet.
She is.
When's she coming back?
Oh, I don't know. I've
well,
been trying to talk her into coming
since,
for Easter, but...
Yeah, since
yeah.
we've got the new place, I'm sure she'll be back
yeah,
by now.
Yeah.
I haven't seen her.
No, I know.
I'm going to be gone next week.
We were wondering when your time off is coming up. Lost track of what's going on.
April 1st.
Yeah.
We're going to Naples with the boys.
Very good.
Trouble. Naples.
Can't wait.
I'm bummed out though. I missed spring training down there. I thought like
no.
the first. I thought like the first week they'd still be playing. Does the season start early this
it
year?
Starts Thursday.
It always starts like almost the 1st of April. I thought.
Oh really?
It?
Yeah.
So when I used to go to, I went for like 15 years straight. It must have been in March when I went before. That's too bad. So Jimmy, let's put it on record now. Where are the Red Sox gonna? people, I don't know if it's unrealistic optimism, but after, you know, just always signed with the team is pretty close to what it was last year, except for the manager and J.D. Martinez mm-hmm. for the Red Sox. Mm-hmm. Now, there's one other thing that no one's talking about. Last year, David Price wasn't healthy for the whole season.
Right.
This year, David Price is coming into the season healthy. So it isn't just J.D. Martinez, because that's all anyone's talking about. David Price healthy is actually a Sale and Price. Those are two big-time pitchers.
Yeah, that could really keep people there. I think Pedroia coming in later, that could be hurting because he has such an impact on the team. So him starting later because he's hurt, that would be something that, you know, that's a bat and a glove that's they need to fill. So when he's back, I don't go by the beginning. You're getting up here, you're doing your thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like when you watch the college basketball games. I don't personally watch until it's the last 6 minutes because that's when it really counts. So, you know, let's talk about this around maybe June or July. Then we'll know guys are back. Because right now, starting off, everyone's jockeying for positions. The starters are still not allowed to go so many innings.
Yeah.
I don't care if you're throwing a no-hitter.
I know, but he's pitching and he's slated to start. He's not
yes.
like he's not starting the year like injured.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And he's gonna be there. But they're probably
I've seen him in a couple of interviews too, and he was actually semi smiling as opposed to like maybe I feel like his attitude has changed a little bit because he was just seemed like such a prick before, like very cantankerous with the media, and I could understand like having that attitude after listening to these guys. I listened to how bad of a rant do I want to go against this Felger and Maz talking about Tom Brady, and because so Tom Brady's last Facebook kind of show that he had Tom versus Time, and he talked about it's kind of strenuous and, you know, wanting to come back, but wanting to feel appreciated and stuff like that. And they're reading all this stuff into it and they're acting like he's being a baby for saying that. But like these guys are like, you listen to them pick him apart so disrespectfully on the radio. And I'm saying to myself, and I agree that the whole Alex Guerrero thing is a little weird and everything, but that guy has delivered four or five Super Bowls, whatever it was. And you know how they've said, like, this guy doesn't have to pay for a meal for the rest of his life in Boston for what he's done for us?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like he's earned a little bit more respect than the way they talk about them.
Is that
and Bill Belichick as well. They just harp and harp and harp that they didn't get anything for Jimmy Garoppolo, where it was abundantly clear they could not carry Tom Brady's contract and what Jimmy was going to make. So they had to take whatever they could get for Jimmy because they were not going to be able to re-sign him for outrageous amounts of money. You can't, because that just destroys your the money that you have for other players in other positions.
Mm-hmm.
Now the next thing that they're harping on is that Odell Beckham may be available from the Giants,
mm-hmm.
and they're saying like, oh, you know, we'd be crazy not to get him. Now if he came here, you know, the guy is an absolute mental case,
egomaniac.
He's unbelievably talented, but that is not the type of player that they bring in here, distractions and stuff like that, and everything that goes with him at a high price tag. Like, I feel like the Patriots would take a flyer on a guy that might potentially have, be a problematic guy, but be paying him peanuts because he got cut from some other team, mm-hmm. and they'll bring him in to see, you know, and they give him a stern talking to, like, you know, if you don't want to go the Patriots way, then you're off the team. Mm-hmm. But if you signed Odell Beckham to Odell Beckham kind of money, you know, like a 20, you know, $18 million, $14 million contract or whatever he's going to demand, and he acts up, you can't just cut that loss. You got to have him on the team throughout the season, even though he's doing stuff detrimental to the team.
Well, that's going back to David Price. David Price was a star, and he was number one, and it was always David Price. Now he's traded to a team where there's some other people. And then when they start picking up Sale and a few other big bats, Price is stuck, and then being hurt, okay, that's nothing you can do about it, but that's why his stock went down and all works, but they signed him. So David Price is finally learning how to play nice.
It's just going to help you in the long run.
I think he's learning that. So Odell, I don't know if his track record says he can't learn it. The main reason why he's over for the Giants is the management's getting ticked off with him, and they're looking to... I mean, they're unloading. I mean, the Giants, you know, this is... But that's New York. They unload people.
Yeah. Well, it's weird because, like, the Jets, it must be just, you know, you can say New York, but really it's ownership, right?
Yeah.
Because the Steinbrenner and Cashman, they're spending all the money. They're going over, they're paying the luxury tax.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't seem like the Jets are, you know, willing to, they're just maybe incompetent GMs.
Well, the Jets are, you know, they thought they had money and one quarterback and it didn't work. They were spending, like, all the time and energy, flat out even saying, we think we landed him. And then he goes signs with another team. So they had to go to plan B. And, you know, so that doesn't look good for New York when you go out and say that. So
So I posted a picture of, I can neither confirm, or Dave Marciano can neither confirm or not confirm what his new boat is going to be.
Oh, no,
so
I did not.
It may or may not be Dave Marciano's new boat. Okay. I'm going to put there'll be a link to a post in the show notes on what may or may not be
Dave Marciano's
new boat.
I want a piece or something from his other boat. That is so classy. And I know it's, you know, but I want a piece of it. That's history.
Yeah, there you go.
So, Dave, if you listen, I'm a fan.
I don't think he's dismantling it. From what I understand, I think...
Oh,
I don't want to
it.
Give
he's
a,
gonna sell it, I'm sure.
I think they may be... You know, I don't know what's going to happen, but I do know his son is also a very good fisherman. And his son has a charter business.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know I don't know what's going to happen. Infer what you may.
Yes.
I don't know. I don't know for sure. There's, you know.
Yeah, that's what we were saying about Tebow for about months.
Oh, God. Tim Tebow. All right, here we go. We got ClosterCast 270. Breaking news.
Wow.
And we made it through.
We made it through.
I said it in the beginning. It was going to be a wildlife, bird-free, butterfly-free. No disrespect to Kim Smith, but I know we have a lot of our fans that enjoy that, you know, there's all different types.
Yep, exactly.
But we made it through. Kim comes back, we're going to have your full dose.
full dose
of straight up wildlife. I'm sure she's going to have a lot to say.
Oh, she will.
And we're going to be podcasting Friday.
Oh, again, okay.
Friday,
I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
So there you go. All right. Jimmy and Pat, for my buddy Eric Lorden, coming in hot
news
with Machaca.
Yeah.
This is your host, Joey Shimataro. Thanks, guys, for coming in.
Thank you.